Good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David. Happy Thursday to you.
Indeed. It's a Thursday. We're reflecting on some of the headlines in the news as we do each morning, Alan. And here's one from Politico this morning. Republicans to Trump, keep Lewinsky out of it.
That's interesting. I think that their theory here is that blaming the Lewinsky affair on Hillary is really nutty, because what it does is it even alienates the women in this country even more. In other words, blaming Hillary for what Bill did is really stupid and offensive to women. I mean, after all, you want to bring up Hillary on whatever charges you want to do, you can do it. But if you start to blame her for what the wandering male does, it turns out to be a very bad strategy, and you lose even more women in this country, if that's possible, and it is possible.
Millennials, young people, young voters specifically, and Bernie Sanders taking on that case for Hillary Clinton.
Well, millennials loved Bernie Sanders because he offered the possibility of change and taking power away from the people at the very top, the establishment, who they consider often the enemy. So Bernie Sanders is the natural antidote. Now, David, obviously the big problem here is that the third parties are doing very well, especially Johnson on the Libertarian Party. So if millennials waste their votes on a third party, according to the Democrats, that is, those are votes that could ordinarily go to Hillary. So you will notice in Hillary's rhetoric these days, there's a lot of talk about millennials, about young people, about people who are young, getting more out of the society. Those are the things that will attract people to the Hillary campaign, I'm sure they think. So while some people may think this stuff happens by accident, these lines in her debate, they're there for a very good and planned reason.
Congress has overridden President Obama to allow 9/11 suits against Saudi Arabia.
Well, this is a tough one. If you're a congressman, you're running for office, there aren't that many fans of Saudi Arabia in this country, and there's a good reason for that. The Saudis cut people's heads off to this day. They are autocratic. They are involved in so many things that we don't even begin to understand the complexity. For example, we know that the Saudis play an interesting game. On the one hand, they portray themselves as United States friends, and on the other hand, they have been funders of certain groups that participate in terrorism. I believe that is the charge. And that stuff, if it comes out, would be terrible for the Saudis, because they've been getting away with it up until now. Now we'll have to see if these lawsuits go anywhere. But if you're a congressman and you have to vote on this, are you voting basically to protect the Saudis? Look, the president knows, and that's the difference between being a candidate and being a president. You're a president, you got certain international obligations and issues and everything else that you have to protect. We don't want the Saudis angry at this country, because we've allowed them in, we've allowed them to buy our paper, and we have allowed them to play the game that they've been playing. So now to say to them, we're going to wrap you up the side of your head, makes them angry. And they have a lot of leverage in this country, from oil to other things that they control.
Finally, we didn't have a chance to talk about it yesterday, Alan, but the death of Shimon Peres.
Well, Shimon Peres is a hero to many Israelis and to many Americans who think that he was on the right side in the beginning, when he protected the country in a very defensive, hawk-like pattern, and until the very end, when he won the Nobel Prize for his Oslo work. This is, in fact, a man who started with the beginning of the country and lived through it all. And he has a tremendous impact on what has happened in Israel, and also the love of so many Americans for what he's done. He served as prime minister for 3 times, according to the New York Times, and it is an extraordinary record of achievement that he has had. You live into your 90s in a country like Israel, and you were there from the very beginning. You have a tremendous respect going for you.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, David.